Going to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, well-known passage, one we've heard many times before. I feel like I'm about to captain some kind of vessel. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will be shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Amen. Well, you'll have worked out from Sunday evening, those of you who were here, I have something of an obsession with those wise men. I think they're so intriguing. There are two Gospels which really deal with the nativity story. One is Matthew and one is Luke. Now, Luke is really something of the historian. If Luke were talking about the wise men rather than the shepherds, he would have told us where they came from. He would have told us that Luke loves detail. Matthew is trying to prove to a Jewish readership that this child is the long-awaited Messiah. That's his priority. Still, what details we have is useful. I just want to look at some of the verbs connected to the wise men. Not all of them, but some of them. Especially when, having left Herod, they go to the child. And we're told when they had come into the house. Now, I said on Sunday morning, in fact, where Christ was born may well have been a house, albeit in the lower quarters where the animals were kept. Or maybe he was born in a stable, but someone showed a bit of pity and said, "You know, you can come into our house after all." What we do know is that by the time the Magi arrive, he's in a house. When they had come into the house, you know, they could have stayed outside. I imagine that the Magi, they weren't kings, by the way, but they were rich and they were powerful. So in a sense, they were. I imagine that very few of them had been into such a lowly dwelling before. You see, rich people don't often enter the homes of the poor and vice versa, except to clean and cook and that kind of thing. Well, they could have stayed outside. They might have considered this house or this situation beneath their dignity. Or maybe they thought, "Well, we've travelled this far. Come on, we might as well go in." They could have called out a greeting from outside and expected the child to have been brought to them. But we're told instead they went into the house. Although they are great and they're dignified and they're well-dressed, in fact, they realise that what the one inside the house is far more dignified and grand than they will ever be. They go in to enter his presence. And I think here we have a wonderful picture. It's a throwaway comment. They came into the house. And yet, how many people at Christmas are prepared to sing the carols and even contemplate and think about the words, but they never quite enter the house? They stand off outside. They hear. They might even like what they see, but they refuse to enter. You see, Christmas is about when the incarnate Son of God entered our world. And here we have the wise men entering the house in which he dwells. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, a verse alluded to already this week, Jesus says he is knocking at the door. And he asks and wonders, who will open the door that he may enter in and feast? And there is a call upon people to enter the house. Not just to stand off from afar, but to enter into a relationship. You know, Christianity is not just about having a load of knowledge or having a repertoire of hymns or being able to find Bible books very quickly. It's about having a relationship with God. It's not just knowing about him, but knowing him. The wise men, we are told, entered the house. The house, of course, was not really theirs. They came as guests, but they travelled a long way, and God invited them by means of a star to enter in and draw near. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 14. From verse 15, it says, Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he, Christ, said to them, A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, Come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I've brought five yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. There really is a feeling in the New Testament, a principle that you're invited to come in. And that the message of the gospel is accept the invitation. The wise men went into the house. We're told that they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they worshipped him. Now, in a way, that's obvious. They saw the child with Mary. There probably wasn't a lot else going on in that house. It probably wasn't a very large house. It says they saw the child. Preachers sometimes over-spiritualize things. Am I doing it now? I don't know. But when I think it says that they saw the child, I think it means they recognized him. You know, you can see things and not actually see them. Looking for a car key. I look everywhere in my house and still I can't see it. We're told that they saw the child. You know, later on in Jesus' life, in Matthew 16 and 16, there's a conversation with this time a grown-up Jesus and the Apostle Peter. Simon Peter answered him after Jesus said, Who do you say that I am? He said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter that day understood and recognized who Jesus was. And he had not worked that out with logic. It had been revealed to him by God. And I just wonder, when the wise men see the child, they worship. Because they don't just see him, say, look, there's a baby in a room. They recognize him. And when they recognize him, they fall down and worship him. And I urge you this morning, don't just in your imagination or even through the eyes of faith, don't just see a child in the manger. Recognize him. See him for who he is. The special atoning sacrifice that God prepared that your place in heaven might be purchased, that your sin might be redeemed, that your heart might be washed clean. Notice they also see his mother. And Mary really does have an honoured position here. But she, they do not worship. Only him. And Matthew always puts Christ first when the two are together. But what about to worship him? There are some religious groups out there who have a real difficulty with that. You see, they say, oh yeah, yes, we should honour Jesus, we should be grateful to him, we should consider him to be high and lofty, but to worship him, worship of course is only permitted for God. You know, I put it to you that those wise men saw and understood more that day than many wise Jews later on in the life of Christ. They understood who he was. This child before them was the incarnate Son of God through whom all things were made, seen and unseen. Who else can claim worship but this child as God on earth? It might be that these magi, these wise men, were polytheists. They worshipped many gods. And yet something tells me they were polytheists no more, if they were when they arrived. You see, to worship Christ means not to worship anything or anyone else. He suffers no rivals. Again, this Christmas, don't just stay afar. Come in. Recognize Christ for who he is, and then respond to that recognition. Worship. He says they fell down. You know, these men do not fall down to anyone. People fall down to them all the time. Because of their wealth and their power and their great intellect, these are men of learning. These are the professors of ancient Persia, the Parthian Empire. Kings consult them. They're asked to interpret dreams and to study charts of the heavens. And here they are, falling down before a child. That's worship. Worship is not just singing. It's realizing how great God is and the wonderful things that he has done. And these wise men are wise indeed, not because of their degrees, not because of their schooling, but because of what they did on this day. They saw that which to many was invisible. We're told, having worshipped, they opened their treasures and they presented them. These men are seriously rich. Let me tell you why I know they were rich. Because they can afford to travel such a long journey. Now, money today, and you know, you might have traveled all the way around the world. That's great. But money today is more easily come by than money was back then. They're living in a pre-industrial society. That means things are always more expensive because they have to be handmade. There are fewer people about. And yet they're able to take time out from their everyday lives in order to go on this long journey. We also know that they're able to present gifts. Now, again, you look at the typical Christmas card and one gets out a little box of gold and a little box of frankincense and a little box of myrrh. Now, I just wonder if these members of Parthia's upper caste brought the whole train load of gold, frankincense and myrrh, camels or donkeys laden. That they're coming today to pay tribute to a king. Not to offer handouts to the poor. And I suspect that the quantity of gifts offered was actually rather high. Now, we know that Mary and Joseph were probably, in their own right, not entirely wealthy. In Leviticus 12, for a woman's purification, we're told that people should offer a lamb, but if not two turtle doves, which is what they offer. And yet, after the Magi, they're able to go to Egypt. They're able to fund a journey. We don't know how long they were in Egypt for. We know that they returned to Judea when Herod died. And Herod died in 4 BC, 4 years before Christ, they miscalculated, I think. It might be that they were in Egypt for 6 months. How are they funding that journey? Well, the gifts of the Magi were such that they could not only afford the journey to Egypt and afford the accommodation there and afford the food there, but also the return journey to Nazareth. All that, of course, has to be paid for. So what do the wise men do? They open up their treasures and they present it. They worship this king. Not just by bowing down, but by giving him what they have. For many people, In the Bleak Midwinter is their favourite carol. I can't decide if I like it or not. For me, it's a tad syrupy. A little bit sentimental, but the words are nice. But the final verse always moves me. No, if I were a shepherd, a wise man, I'd do my part. What can I give him? My heart. Is that sentimental? In a way it is, but it's also true. The Lord Jesus this morning does not crave your wealth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. Let me assure you, what you have is nothing. Does he want your time? Well, he's outside of time. He doesn't need it. Does he want your company? Well, he's surrounded by angels day and night whose intellect and beauty are far greater than anything we could possibly add to a conversation. But he does, to think of Christina Rossetti, desire our company. And desire us as people, not for what we have and what we can give him, for what we have and what we can give him is nothing. And yet he does desire us. It says they departed for their own country. Well, was it a journey worth making? Have you ever heard that expression, a holiday of a lifetime? And I always think, never go on a holiday of a lifetime, because when you come back, where do you go? What's left? And of course, you know, the holiday of a lifetime is never really all that good. There's always something you can do after that. And I wonder if these wise men on their way back, and I don't think there were three of them, I think there may have been hundreds of them. I wonder if they said, well, you know, was it worth it? It took a lot of time. It cost them a lot of money. It may have even cost them the respect of their peers. I don't think every member of the Magi caste from Parthia made the journey. There will have been others back home who said, I'm not quite so sure you've worked it out correctly. A child born in Judea, is that really worth it? I don't know. What happens to them now? I prefer Christmas Eve to Christmas Day. I always think the anticipation of the Eve is better than the day. The day is often a disappointment. And I can remember growing up and there would have been family arguments and people complaining and am I the only one round here who does the washing up? All those kind of statements are made year after year. And for many people, I think Christmas is actually a disappointment. But what of the wise men? They spent a long time following that star. What were they expecting? A child in a golden cradle? A guard of honour provided by Herod? Because they didn't get it. They came to a humble house, perhaps akin to a stable with the animals downstairs. We don't know what was said to them by Mary and Joseph. Perhaps Mary and Joseph were more in awe of them and said nothing at all. But what we do know is that having seen the child, they left. As far as I can tell, the child performed no miracles or signs for them. He spoke no parables or sayings which they could write down and enter into the archives of Parthia. Did they have a full understanding of salvation, of the cross and the resurrection? And I suspect they didn't. Although they may have understood more than we perhaps think. What they did understand, however, is that somehow this child would save them. And they probably set off on their camels or donkeys or whatever mode of transport they had back across the desert into the east, hopeful and joyful that salvation had come. And maybe you don't have any particularly great theological understanding. You're not particularly religious. You don't read the Bible very often. But you do know and you understand that when Jesus came, it was to save. And it was to save you. And if you understand that much, you are one of those wise men. You are a wise woman, a wise person. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Whether you're a wise man, a rich man, a poor man, a shepherd, a woman, a black, a white, or whatever, those wise men understood that this child was God's means by which the human race would be saved. It's Christmas. There's lots going on today. Much to distract. Much to fall out about. Much for which the timing has to be exact. People to phone, people calling round. Among all the distraction, remember the wise men. They went in. They fell down. They worshipped. They presented. They gave. And they departed. And I'm going to add, they departed with joy. God bless you, Amen.